Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Forgiveness has about it a mystery. And I think we all wonder at times, has God really forgiven me? I mean, all of these times I've gone back over and over, has He really, does He keep on forgiving me? Am I forgiven? And then we wonder, have I really forgiven other people? Have I forgiven them? Have I let them off the hook? And then have people forgiven me? So forgiveness is a big, mysterious word. So we say, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses. And some translations said, forgive us of our wrongs. I like it, forgive us of our sins. I got that one.
The truth is, you can trust God's forgiveness. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares his message, Forgiveness, and shows you how you can enjoy a heart full of compassion and grace toward others. Stay with us and hear more from Dr. Young on The Winning Walk. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Forgiveness.
We've got no more problems in our world today than perhaps any other time in the history of humanity. We see revolution taking place virtually in every country in the Middle East. We see unrest in Africa, Central and South America. We see our own overwhelming economic challenges, moral challenges in America and in Europe. Wouldn't it be something, as we're looking for all of these answers, with the brilliance of humanity, if people were simply introduced to Jesus Christ in Libya, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Canada, Europe, you name it, and given the operation manual, it says, this is how you live. What would happen? What would happen? That's our calling as members of the family of God. It all begins with learning how to pray, really. The apostles saw that when Jesus prayed, power came into his life. Supernatural power, amazing things in words and in miracles. And they watched him and they said, Lord, we want some of that. Teach us to pray like that. And Jesus gave to those followers, as he has given to us, his prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Notice how it begins. It's how all prayer must begin. Transcendence. We have to understand a little bit with whom we are speaking, with whom we are dealing, with whom we are listening to. Our Father, Abba, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It starts with reverencing the name of God. Be careful how we use God in humorous ways, his name. Be careful how we profane his name. Prayer begins with an awesome reverence toward our Father who art in heaven. And then we pray, hallowed, separate, special be thy name. Holy is thy name. Then we ask, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, it is in heaven. We're saying the kingdom will come. When does the kingdom of God come? The kingdom of God exists when God is king and Jesus is Lord. Wherever that is, there's the kingdom. Jesus is Lord, there's the kingdom of God. The king is in control, there's the kingdom of God. And we're praying that the kingdom of heaven will become the kingdom of this earth. And the affairs of this earth would be administered the way the affairs of heaven are administered. That is a big, supernatural, out of this world prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then notice how practical the prayer gets. We could say, well, Christianity is so otherworldly. It is, but yet it is also of this world. Give us this day our daily bread. You can't live without bread, physical needs. Give us this day the physical nourishment that we need. And then after we ask to give bread, we ask for forgiveness. Forgive us. Forgive us. Give, forgive, proper order. We have bread for this life. We have spiritual bread, so we experience forgiveness. It's physical and spiritual that we pray for. And what about this word forgiveness? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's Matthew 6. That's our verse today. Let's say it together. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you can, kneel. If you can't, just bow your head with me for a moment, please. Before we pray, ask the Holy Spirit right now to bring to your mind anyone that you haven't forgiven. Any grudge that you have, any bitterness towards someone you've entertained, any desire for revenge, any idea that they will get what they deserve? Does any names come to your mind? Some of it may go back through the years. Abuse. They embarrassed me. They exploited me. They used me. Any names come to your mind? Names of individuals you haven't really, truly forgiven. Parents, brother, sister, friends, anyone, any name come to your mind? Hold on to that name. Keep it in the front of your mind as we study this verse together. Father, I pray that you will speak and let me get out of the way as you do a healing work in the hearts and lives of many of us gathered here. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgiveness. That's a big word, isn't it? Forgiveness. Forgiveness has about it a mystery. And I think we all wonder at times, has God really forgiven me? I mean, all of these times I've gone back over and over, does he keep on forgiving me? Am I forgiven? And then we wonder, have I really forgiven other people? Have I forgiven them? Have I let them off the hook? And then have people forgiven me? So forgiveness is a big, mysterious word. So we say, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses. And some translations said, forgive us of our wrongs. I like it, forgive us of our sins. I got that one. And you could do a linguistic study of the word for sin or trespasses or debts in the Bible. There's a lot of words. It means to miss the mark. It means to come up short. It means to step over the line. It means to get out of the path. It means to do your own thing. It means to rebel. There's a lot of word and nuances of the word sin and debts and trespasses and wrongs all the way through the scripture. But we worry about the Lord's Prayer. We say, you know, in some churches, they say debts. Other churches, they say trespasses. What's that all about? I like one simple explanation I read. He said it's the difference between the Scotchman and the Englishman. He said that you go to a Scottish Presbyterian church, they say, forgive us our debts. Scotchmen are into money and debt and being skinflints and cheap, and so they're worried about being in debt, so they use the word debt. Go to English church, Church of England, Episcopal Church, they say, forgive us our trespasses. The English are interested in property, in lines. And man, when you trespass, you go over that line. So the difference in being an Englishman and a Scotchman, debts and trespasses, I like to use the word sin. Forgive us our sin. Now somebody might say, why do we have to pray that? If we're a Christian, this is a believer's prayer. So I want us to see two simple basic things that every Jesus follower needs to have nailed down in their life. A lot of things you can forget and wonder about. You'll need this. You need to know how to get right with God, and you need to know how to stay right with God. Isn't that it? Can't get more basic than that. How do you get right with God? You need three words. Every person, if you don't have these words, write it down in your Bible. You use lipstick, a pen, pencil, mascara, write it down. We need these three words the rest of our lives if we're Jesus followers. First of all, we needed to get right with God. We needed to stay right with God. What are those words? Conviction. We become a Christian when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. I have stepped over the line. I have fumbled. I have failed. I have struck out. I have lied. I have deceived. Conviction of sin is where it all starts. And the Holy Spirit does that. I can dangle everybody here over the fires of hell for 30 minutes. Say, ooh, boy, I'm glad to get out of there. But it is the Holy Spirit that brings conviction in my life and your life. That's the first step of being a Christian. Conviction. Got to have that word. Then there is confession. We're convicted of sin. We confess sin. Don't say, forgive me of my many sins. Spell it out. Be specific. Be specific. Confession of sin. And then what do? We repent. We turn away from all known sin. We move in the opposite direction. Now, this is how we become a Christian. Those three words, you have to have them. You get right with God. Conviction, the Holy Spirit does it. Confession. and then we repent and we receive Christ, bang, we're in the family of God. This, in one sense, is a judicial process. God is a holy God. He cannot tolerate debts, trespasses, wrongs, and sins. They have to be dealt with. You see, God doesn't leave any loose ends out there. So it has to be dealt with. We know that Jesus Christ came on the cross. He took all that I owe. He took every time I had stepped over the line. He took all of my sins and all of yours, and he died for us. He paid the price. He is a substitute for you in a court of law before Almighty God. He died on your behalf. He took the judgment that you and I deserve upon himself. This is what happens. This is how we get right with God. Those three words. Let me explain it in a very simple way. There was a family walking through the plains of Georgia. Grass about this high, taking a stroll, large, large valley. And they looked behind them and they saw a brush fire had started. And the wind was pushing that fire rapidly in their direction. There was no way they could escape. Fire was moving in, nowhere to run. Flames everywhere. But the father, who was an outdoorsman, took a match and lighted a fire where the family was, and they established a burned out place, and they stepped back. The fire was coming, and this place burned out. So after the grass here was burned, they got his family in the middle of that burned out place. And when the fire was moving rapidly for them, it just went around them. There was nothing to burn. They were safe. It went over them. They were not harmed or singed in any way because there was nothing to burn. The fire moved over them. This is what happens on the cross. We stand in judgment for our sin. Jesus has already paid the price. There's no double jeopardy there. And so we have to stay in that burned out place with Christ at the cross. And the judgment passes over us because there's nothing for you and for me to be judged about because Jesus has paid the price. He has paid it all. See? We're in that burned out place. This is how we get right with God. You got to have those three words: conviction, confession, repentance. Now, how do you stay right with God? Well, I don't know about you, but since I became a Christian, I'm not sinned anymore. You know, I've been perfect. It's just been amazing to observe. That's not quite the way it is it? So what do you do about sin in the life of a Christian? You need those same three words to stay right with God. Conviction of sin, the Holy Spirit does that. Confession of sin and repentance from sin. To get right, there's where we go. To stay right, there's where we go. And let's talk about confession. You know our problem with confession? Our problem is the little weak word, but. Let me tell you, we don't own our sin. This is how we confess. Lord, forgive me for losing my temper. I know I'm wrong, but everybody in my family has a temper. Lord, forgive me for those lustful thoughts, but you made me like this. Lord, forgive me for wanting the approval of people more than I want your approval. But isn't most everybody like that? You see, we put these little if, ands, or buts in there. Listen, confession is taking ownership of sin. I made the choice. I stepped out of bounds. I went in that direction. I am wrong. Don't put any defense up. Confess that sin. By the way, how long has it been since you've confessed a sin, something that you should have done and you didn't do? You know, we don't confess. Lord, I forgive me because I didn't. Oh, forgive me, Lord, because I did. But evidently that's a big deal, because in Matthew 25, Jesus is there, the sheep and the goats, and he says, hey, where were you when I was naked? You weren't there. When I need clothes, where were you and I in prison? Where were you when I was broken? Where were you when I was hungry? Where was you and I have all these problems? And we say, Lord, we didn't know. We didn't see. We didn't know. He said, you didn't open your eyes. The little ones, the people around you, you should have known. What happens to us in this sins of omission, what we admit? Why do we miss things? We work with people, we live with people, and suddenly their lives lose out in a disastrous way. They go into depression. They go into all, have all kinds of problems that just explode their lives. And you know what we say? You know, I see them all the time and I didn't know. That's the excuse we give. Why do we not pick up on this? It's because we don't really love folks. When you love something or someone, you always have understanding. A mother loves her children. She understands them. Because she's read all the books on child psychology? No, because she loves. If you love botany, you're going to understand botany. Whatever we love, we understand. And therefore, because we're not sensitive, we do not love, we do not see, we do not feel. Oh, we love. Well, they're in trouble. I'm going to help them. Before they're in trouble, if we love, we understand, and then we can move in ahead of time. So we pray for sins of omission, what we do not do. We confess that, as well as sins of commission, and we pray, I pray, Lord, give me quick eyes to see. Isn't that what we need? Quick eyes of love to see. Love has understanding. It's just built in.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Years ago, a pastor friend of mine told me about an elderly woman in his congregation. She might have been 100 years old, but she was there every Sunday, and she sat right in front of the sanctuary. Sometimes a visiting speaker filled his message with stories and illustrations. She would hear the woman whisper, "Lift him up." And if a speaker just continued in the same vein, she would get a little louder, "Lift him up." If the speaker did not present Jesus Christ with power and honor and glory, you can be sure he was in for a long day. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our purpose. We are to reflect the life of Christ in every way we can. We are to lift him up. And when we lift up Jesus Christ, great things can and do happen.
We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who he is, what he did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young brings a special message to prepare your heart for Easter called Victory Over Death.